What You Missed on the Curve with Michelle Martin and Desmond Wong on Money FM 89.3.
Veronica Garcia founded Bitlumens in Switzerland. She is a former consultant for the World Bank, IDB, and Castalia, and she has a passion for renewable energy. So while prior to Bitlumens, she focused on policy mechanisms that aided in the support of renewable energy development, in 2017, she developed a device that brings solar power and water to individuals in rural communities in developing countries using the Internet of Things and blockchain technology. This sounds so fascinating, Veronica. Welcome to the show. I'm joined now by Veronica Garcia. You have to tell us how this all works.
Thank you for having me here. Pleasure to explain everything. You know, it sounds very technical, but actually it's quite easy to explain.
Really? Okay, you must then, because in our minds we think blockchain, okay, that's a shared encrypted ledger maintained by a network of computers. But what should we understand about blockchain and the energy sector?
So right now what we are doing, just to put you a very close example of what we are doing, is we have sensors in place in these solar devices, which is a solar panel with a battery and LED light bulbs. People can also charge their phones. And what these sensors do is they collect data, for instance, how much is being generated, how much is being consumed, and also what is the transactions that these users do over time. So to put you an example, one of my agents, they make the network in a particular region. They bring the devices, they collect data or know your customer data on each of these users. For instance, we collect behavioral variables such as what type of floor do they have, how many people live in that house, what are their wages, and then we feed our risk model. We check whether the risk of default is not too high. We will install these devices, and then later on these people pay in installments. So then we can have a credit score on the blockchain, and financial entities can have access to that. And that's important to promote financial inclusion. And it's a way of telling them the data has not been tampered and the users have the right to have and use their data. It's not something that it's currently being done. There are over 20 million devices in Africa, solar off-grid devices in Africa, and the issues around that is that users have to ask for a piece of paper saying, certify me that I have paid for the device, so then I can go to the bank and say, you know, give me a microloan.
And so
to me, this is, yes, it's very inefficient, and, you know, they have the data. They users should have access to their data. And the second thing I want to mention is that by tokenizing the system, we can send a remittance. Let's say you're in London and you want to send a remittance to your mother in Guatemala. You can do that by sending the token directly to the machine ID, and the machine will be unlocked. So it's a way of paying for their electricity.
Remotely
yes.
Paying for electricity.
Yes, electricity or water even through solar pumps. So this is, you know, one of the two, let's say, use cases we do.
Is this platform based on Ethereum?
Yes, it is. It's based on Ethereum. The idea would be to have a private and a public ledger. In the private one, we will only give access to our investors, for instance, so they would see where the machines are located, how much are we generating, what is the carbon mitigation. And that's important. We also are including sensors by the end of July. We are a little bit delayed. I thought it was June, but it will be July. And the idea would be to capture particulate matter indoors. So then we see if I know that business as usual was using a kerosene lamp and now you are not using it anymore, we can actually verify carbon mitigation over time. And this is really important because if we want to achieve the goals under the Paris Agreement, we do need to tackle, verify. We definitely need private investment to flow in the places that are needed most.
So you were previously an investment consultant working for the World Bank.
No, actually for UBS. US and Credit Suisse. Mm-hmm. For the World Bank, I was an energy consultant.
Yeah. So how do you make the transition to, you know, starting this?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. So I was I studied in Switzerland economics, and then I immediately started to work in banks, UBS, and then my boss and the whole team moved to Credit Suisse, and I made that transition. And after a while, it's kind of, I saw it, you know, and I wanted to go back to school. So I went to the ETH, that is like the Polytechnic of Zurich, and I focused on energy economics mainly. So then my master thesis I did at IBM Research Lab together with Professor Rutherford, and I just loved it. I loved it so much.
What was your master thesis?
My master thesis was on a high concentrated photovoltaic thermal power plants.
Okay, is that in English?
This is English. And actually, it's very simple. It sounds all fancy, but it's simple. It's a solar plant with two different outputs. You have a thermal output and an electrical output. Mm-hmm. My boss was simply a genius. You know, he developed the same technology you have in data centers through microcooling, and he would put it in a solar receiver, so then you would increase the efficiencies of the solar receiver by cooling it with hot water. And that hot water you can use for desalination, for heating, and air conditioning. So these are the thermal users.
Help us understand the central questions that Bitlumen is trying to solve.
Mm-hmm. Well, two things. The first one that to me it's really key is energy access. I don't think energy poverty, it's something that it's easy to solve it right now, because you have areas where GHI or global horizontal irradiance, it's very high. You have the technology that actually can produce a fair amount of output. Mm-hmm. Let's say I have a 20-watt panel with a battery that it's around 6,000 milliamp hours. I can produce 5 hours, or give my users 5 hours of electricity. That's amazing. It's a small package. It costs around $180. You can pay per month $12, $13 until you own it. So it's, to me, you know, simply not fair that people are still using kerosene, wood, and other sources.
When the solutions are there.
The solutions are there, exactly. So this is, you know, and someone has to do it. It's very simple. So I just roll up my sleeves and said, okay, let's make it done. I partner with a very good manufacturer. I partner with good entities in Latin America that help me develop the network. So it's important to have people that have access to those communities. And
so
right now we are...
communities that you're reaching out to, primarily Latin America?
Well, Latin America and Southeast Asia. So right now we are looking at places like Myanmar and Indonesia. I wrote a paper where I forecast the supply curve of renewable technologies over time, because each country has a renewable target, and sometimes they are not very realistic, mm-hmm. because they need a high amount of investment. So quantifying all of this, it's really important to me. When I see Southeast Asia, I see a huge opportunity. You know, there are a lot of places that are not electrified. The renewable target, it's around 23% by 2025.
It's for the region, or?
Yeah, for Southeast Asia, yeah. They have an amazing amount of solar resource. So we are looking right now at places in Indonesia that are islands that we could bring this type of technology. And of course, at the beginning, we bring solar home systems, which are these very small technologies, and then later on try to do the transition towards mini grids.
So I know you're passionate also, besides energy and sustainability, you're also very passionate about gender equality.
Yes.
Can you share with us how Bitlumen is working in that area?
Yes, yes. So right now we bring our solution mainly to women farmers. The idea would be that, you know, they have the data, they have the credit score, they are the ones who pay, they are more reliable, responsible than men, especially in rural areas. In cities, statistics show something completely completely different. But to me, it's very important to focus on gender equality. That's one of the bases of this company.
So you're looking at putting the technology in their hands, or?
Yes, yes. They are responsible for the technology, you know, and they usually come to me and say also, you know, Veronica, I really like this type of technology, but I also need this and that for my crops. So then we are trying to build use cases slowly, you know, so we can bring those type of technologies. Just to give you another example,
yes,
solar pumps, like water pumps, powered by solar technologies, so...
Water pumps powered by solar technologies.
Well, solar panels, actually. Yeah.
So this is helping communities who may depend
on
wells.
Irrigate their crops. If they don't do it, their crops will die. And they pay an insane amount of money per week to water, for instance, avocados. Sometimes they pay $80 per week. And like four different farmers have to get together to pay that amount.
Wow.
Otherwise, they would not get any revenues because they would not get any crops.
So as CEO of Bitlumen, did you have to go to the ground to understand the farming needs?
Well, that's actually what I like the most.
Oh, really? It's tough.
I love it. I mean, I respect them so much. They are hard workers.
Yes.
They are usually very straightforward.
Mm.
And unlike what many people think, they are very responsible. Just to put you a few examples, if you don't pay, sometimes you find blackboards close to the shops saying these people have not paid, you know?
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's...
That's the village enforcing social norms,
yes,
huh?
Yes, it's the community.
In Latin America or in Asia?
In Guatemala.
In Guatemala.
Yeah, yeah. And in Asia, we are seeing, you know, the same type of community activity, I would call it, you know, and social norms surrounding rural areas mainly. So I'm, you know, I try to tell people this is no charity. They actually, you know, having low resources, it's actually very expensive. They pay sometimes to charge a phone $10 per month, and we would pay cents, maybe 11 cents per year.
Yeah.
You know.
And in these communities where going to the doctor maybe $50 US or $10 is huge.
Yes, yes, yes. They pay a higher amount in proportion to whatever they earn compared to us in the cities.
Well, speaking of that line, I just want to pick up on that when you say this is no charity. Have you been crowdsourcing for support?
Yes. So we close a round of family and friends, and right now we are opening a second one for equity or, you know, tokens.
What are you aiming for?
So for equity, we are looking at 2 million. And then when it comes to the token part, will be $15 million, so U.S. dollars, that we will, of course, disburse within a three-year term.
Okay. So how close are you in terms of what you need to get your full vision off the ground?
Well, I think the full vision we already have.
Oh.
What, you know, it's important to mention that the pilot is in place, that we are really... finalizing the software. It's just a matter of scaling, you know, and where to scale and how to do it and with which partners to scale.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that right now, for sure, 40% is checked.
Fantastic.
So
is it crucial that you get government input on this?
Well, we always welcome it. You know, it's always welcome. To me, it's really important to be compliant with regulation. One of my team members used to be a board director at the IMF and at the Swiss National Bank. So to me, it's really important to, you know, try to follow regulation. What I see, it's a lack of global regulation where startups can actually scale based on that. It's, you know, you have a regulation in Switzerland and a very different one in Guatemala, a very different one in Myanmar.
Do you think anything more can be done to improve what you're offering?
In terms of?
The product or the services.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Oh, definitely. I am not a big fan of perfection. I just do it and then I test and I try to solve it. So I think perfection comes with time and also collaborations.
Okay, yeah. So tell us again, you know, the scope of what you think you can do with your platform here in Asia, in Southeast Asia.
Well, I think, first of all, bringing renewable technologies to places that are really needed, that need this type of technologies, is key. I think, as I said before, energy access, and also to promote financial inclusion, that would be the second one. You know, having a bank account or having access to a microloan in Mexico, just to put you an example, if you ask for a microloan, they will charge you 120% interest rate, and they will make an ROI, return on investment, of 40%.
Where is this again?
In Mexico.
In Mexico.
I just don't find that ethical. And this happens.
I don't know how you can break out of the poverty cycle with that.
Exactly. I mean, and I think it's not even that risky when those companies are making 40% ROI, right? Mm-hmm. If I make an ROI of 15 to 20%, I consider myself very, very successful. So this is a project that, to me, I want to mix, I would say, impact investments with also a good return, you know, both. And I think it's doable.
And you're also making an impact on climate control.
Yes, and that's important. Air pollution, you know, it's a huge issue. People have to stop burning kerosene, candles, wood, sometimes even plastic they burn, you know.
Yes.
So it's really something that has to be tackled. I don't think that governments alone can do it. I do believe that we all have the responsibility to do a little bit. It's not just big companies. It's not just the government. We all can do our share.
Are you a pioneer in this area of blockchain and energy, in the energy sector, or are there other companies doing this?
There are other companies doing, like one in New York I really like. They are mainly doing it for urban areas. Like, for instance, by tokenizing the system, you can do machine-to-machine trading. So if you did not use all the power in your battery, I can sell it to you. I have not seen so many other companies focusing on the rural area. And that's something that we can do because there is good cellular connection. We are using LoRa to connect all our sensors. It's
what is LoRa?
LoRa, it's a low area wide power network. It's something similar to radio frequency, something like this. So then we will connect all the sensors. We will have a microcontroller that it's connected to internet. So we would just need one point, and then we will send this data to the blockchain, of
course. So I'm sure it was a process walking away from your life as a former consultant to doing what you're doing now. But do you remember that moment when you realize you have to do this?
So I remember this company is born out of frustration. I work with big companies, and I see how slow the funds move from, you know, one place to the other one. So I think it's just a matter of, you know what, you know which technologies are good. If they are not too expensive, invest in those. Bring it to, you know, the areas that are needed the most. Have good partners, you know, that know, understand the communities and understand their needs. And that's what I did. And I really like the technical part. I like the software part a lot. I miss IBM Research Lab so much. You know, like today I was at the Singapore lab for manufacturing, I think it's called. It was like Disney World for me. It was like, I want to stay here. I love it.
Scientist at heart, it sounds like.
Yes, I am. But I really love, you know, that and combine it to the people that I think really need it. I'm an economist at heart because we allocate resources efficiently.
Right.
And that's what I try to do. Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's been fascinating to have some insight into your world. Thank you for inspiring the entrepreneurs listening in as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
CEO of BitLumens, Veronica Garcia there.